Good morning, honorable members. May I declare this meeting officially open, and apologies for starting 10 minutes late. It's just that we were waiting to have a full quorum, as this meeting will need a quorum.
I think you must make particular thanks to the opposition for making the quorum.
Thank you to all members of this
chair.
Our members, I think this is going to be only reflecting on the reports that we have got. Three reports and two sets of minutes. And that will be the business of today. And I do have good apologies from Honorable Montiti, who's gone to his province as he's been invited by the Provincial Portfolio Committee on Finance to go and assist them on some issues they've got, and a workshop there. The other apologies from the WIPO Committee, Honorable Faku, who has got an appointment with the doctor now at half past 10. And the other is from Honorable Memela, who will be joining us later as his delegation in another meeting. And the last apology is from Honorable Bloom, as he's attending the Committee on Security and Constitutional Development, which coincides with this one. So those are the only apologies that I have. And I will then, if there's no queries, move straight to the third item on the agenda, which is the consideration of the report. And the first report is the annual performance evaluation report for further education and training grant. We'll go through the report as usual, page by page, to identify omissions, corrections, and receive any additions, if any. The reports were circulated to all members, so I take it that all members did receive.
Yes.
Thank you very much, all members. I'm on page one.
Which one is that?
The Federal Education and Training Colleges Grant. Let's say again.
Can you check whether chair, since we have received them electronically, whether there have been any changes to the ones that we see today from the secretary?
Any improvements to the ones submitted? No.
No.
Okay.
Thank you. Page two.
Page 7 and 8. What I did really have a challenge with, if you remember, Chair, I raised a matter relating to the FET colleges, where you find that they are accredited, their programs are accredited at the main campus, but at the sub campuses, then you find that they don't necessarily have the things that they are supposed to have in terms of the accreditation. And I tried to read and to come across that specific observations and recommendation. I failed to find it. I'm not sure whether it has been crafted in a manner that I could not see it. I just wanted to make sure that that particular aspect, it is in the report to ensure that the Department of Higher Education ensures that each and every FET makes sure that even its other campuses comply with the accreditation. And that's what I was just trying to raise. Thanks.
Okay, I think that will be evident if it's okay for all members. Chris?
Great.
Page 89. If there's nothing, can we move?
I move for adoption.
Congrats if you are moved adoption. Any second? And about this,
as you said, that it will be added. The only thing that it is noted in the report, it is in relation to what you call capacity. And I just want to make sure that when they add it, it talks to compliance with the accreditation of the program.
Yes,
as main campus as well as subcampus. In the report, it's only reflected as if it's a capacity challenges only. Because it is appearing on page 8, I think, on 4.12, and on the recommendations, also is 5.7, but this talks to, it only talks to capacity constraints, but not on the requirements for compliance. Of the program's accreditation.
Thank you. No, that's how we understood it. That this the addition relates to compliance more than is a capacity building.
Okay.
Honorable Joseph.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I just want to know if we have received the forensic reports as stated in one of the capacity issues and constraints and noted under that heading, and as is the last part of the recommendations. Part of the recommendations is that the department should, but in 3 months, I'll brief us
after
that. Yeah. So, have you received any information as well after now?
Not yet. Remember, this will only be communicated once the House approves. Thank you, Honourable Members. The next set is the annual performance evaluation report on the provincial roads maintenance grant, and I'm on page. One, two. Page 3. page 4. I just indicated to the secretary that in terms of those tables, it should reflect that those figures are in thousands. So there's no sort of a commission of putting all those zeros there on top there. Page 5.
I just wanted on page 5, Chair, just simply to check the figures on the first row receding, where we have got 3 million and then actually 7 for 2011-2012. Just verification that is the number. I don't have the correct numbers there, but just simply to verify that they are correct. The way that we don't have typographical mistakes.
That is page 6.
Page 5. The top block. You see on receiving 2011-2012, plan is 3.2 million.
Actually
7. And then the following year, then it is planned on 6 million.
Actual 4.
You see, with the actual, anything can happen. But I mean, it's with the plan that is so low. And then whether it is not just a typographical mistake, then just verify the number.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I think we'll then have to verify before publishing the report. Thank you, Oral Mashira, for that. Page 7.
The table, what are the pluses supposed to mean?
So, sir,
if you have a plus, then either you've got a plus minus, but if you just have a plus,
you somebody civil service.
Because it's a cumulative target, and the first year is 70,000, and then they say. They must add to that the 20 to make 90,000, and then it must and in the column next to that they actually only added 42. The plus means the previous year. Now the cumulative target is to plus that in the following year.
Mm-hmm.
So it just means the target was 70, then in the following year it's 90 because they must add 20, the plus 20,000, and in the following year 2013-14, it's plus 30,000 to total 120. So it's working as a cumulative target. That's the way it was presented to the committee.
Now, why do we have brackets then to the 90 and 120?
That would then just be the total target. The previous year plus the cumulative total.
You got the bracket of the column, then maybe reflecting a negative.
You could drop the brackets because it's got a heading on the column.
Yeah, it should be a positive total.
second. Page 7. Are we done on 6? Are we done? There's water 7.
Findings generally, we had the problem of inadequate technical, professional, and the program and project management across generally. Although that the report, as CC indicated, with certain provinces. And then he actually concentrated on either two of them, on management of them. But whereas on its own, then it also reflects even the technical and professional expertise. But he did not raise it. Only when we questioned him, and then accepted that is the implication. You remember when we were speaking about the Eastern Cape, where he actually worried about the technical staff that they were facing. But I mean, when you have that problem, you automatically even have the project management problems, because the people that must do that project management must also be technically qualified. If we could just simply ensure that that particular point is raised without really leaving one behind. The issues of program management, project management, and professional or technical, that is generally what is hindering the expenditure and the planning to spend on this particular grant across all the programs.
But would Honorable Mr. Dow?
I'm not sure if 4.14 is not addressing it. We can strengthen 4.14. It talks about the fact that we are spending the poor technical capacity on the project planning.
In fact, if I may add to this, I think another point that we can spend is also 4.4.
All right. Fish.
Hi.
If nothing, I will take a moment and second if those clerks
Mr. Chairman, before we do that, before we do that, I'm somewhat concerned about my salary at the end of the month, because I think Parliament pays my salary, and it seems that Parliament is running out of cash, because I know to buy some ink to
it's
true. You may not get increased. Chairman, I move the adoption.
Let us pray.
Now give the seconder. I'm going to vote
for the seconder. That's with the permission of Honourable Machine.
Honourable Machine is still reading. I'm on the next step of the report.
I'm actually just trying to put, just simply to verify the supply chain issues.
Okay.
You know, because they have been accommodated on 4.19 and then
Human Settlement Development Grant?
I just want to confirm that on all the reports, the first line under introduction has started to convene a hearing. So I'm not sure that it gives the right terminology in terms of was this a normal meeting, why should it be a hearing? A hearing committee, I'll define something else.
Not a public hearing.
Come again?
Now I'm just saying, why should it not be post a meeting? Why hearing can define something else? You know, whether it's an internal hearing investigation or public hearing, so what's just from here that word hearing is not the correct word, that's what I'm saying.
Now that includes a public hearing, public. Because public hearing, of course, it means exactly what you do.
And we'll list your hand to up in
there. Mr. Chairman, I suppose it's true that it is normally termed a meeting of the committee at which the public are welcome. But a hearing is also true in the sense that we're sitting and we're listening to a presentation from officials, and then we interact with them. So technically, probably both meeting or hearing could be used interchangeably under these circumstances, as long as there's no confusion with a legally required public hearing, which the law sometimes asks for. But I think it's okay as it is, given that we are listening to a presentation.
Okay, according to this one, I just want to.
Thank you, Honorable Liz and Honorable Joseph and Sile.
Yeah. The chair on the very first paragraph, of course, on the introduction, the third line from the bottom, the human settlements function was assigned to six metropolitan. I think this was an accreditation. These metropoles were accredited. Yes. I don't think it is assigned.
Yes, it's accreditation.
Yes, it's accreditation for them to actually handle the issues of human settlements themselves. They're accredited.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
great.
That's the only worry I had on this page.
Correct. This is two.
Is the outer column that is blank, and then what is supposed to be in? If there's nothing, should be a dash or a zero.
In
not just open spaces.
Wait, in the cells there.
In the boxes, yes. On the right-hand side. And of course, the other thing is the use of a minus sign. When on top of the heading, then we have actually denoted the nomenclature is a bracket or no bracket for a positive and negative. But when got in there, then we change, now we use a minus. We just need to actually try and correct that one. Then the second thing, Chair, of course, is that the table talks to the main budget. And I think it was, we should also have heard what was supposed to be transferred at the end of that court, so that we are able to compare with the actual expenditure of that court. Because at the moment we are comparing a quarterly expenditure against an annual amount. And then, which is a little bit problematic, is that it doesn't really quickly give you an indication of and an with a minimum of a week expenditure or more. If we could have the main budget or a quarterly supposed to be among that the transfer to the province, and then and the quarterly expenditure, so that it is easy to compare the two figures. We can pass this one now, Chair, not to mess up this thing, just that moving forward, so that we are able to compare. Like when you go to the second quarter, then it is best to have the first half that is supposed to be transferred with the expenditure up to the second quarter. It's then you are able to compare the numbers.
Although I don't understand on the machine, because the main budget obviously will be that yearly whatever.
Yes.
But then they will show the F at the end of the first quarter they had received 322. But they're supposed to get 25% a quarter, if you remember.
Yes, supposed
and,
to be
25. Yeah, and so on. But the second block refers to the quarterly transfer.
Mr. Chairman, maybe I can assist a little bit. Let's just look at the last column, the over expenditure or under expenditure, which is minus 78. So if you, so now, you, if you want to work out what should have been transferred for the quarter, I assume you take the 322 plus the 78. Sorry, minus 78 to get the budgeted amount for the quarter. Am I right? But then why is it 15.9%? Maybe I'm wrong. Sorry, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I think the Honourable Mashida is trying to say we've got some figures as a quarter and some as an annual, and you can't actually look at them and compare them. But you're at the 25%. The percentage column, we think about 25% per quarter, one quarter 25%, actual 16%. There's a problem.
Yes.
But then maybe going forward, because some of these tables, as opposed to wanting to correct them here, when you do the reports, because they are taken as they are out of the presentation of the department, then we must then give focus to these tables in those hearings, so that the department be the one that correct, because this is sourced from their own document, as raw as it is.
Point
taken. Yeah. Assuming that as we all agree that you got this document, you might have highlighted where areas you want to talk to. That's why I won't waste time.
My highlights are wearing black, so I don't
know. Okay. It's understandable, I will leave. I will be a little bit slow to accommodate that.
Part of the matter is the Limpopo Mpumalanga situation. Because they were very problematic, remember that they did not actually receive the grant
over a particular period of time, but on one side they continue to spend on the programs, and which was very problematic to say is how did they finance it, and have they not frustrated some of their own programs? And I think that is the one issue that needs to be raised, even when we have to talk to this report in the House. That particular problem, I think, needs to be raised, that if you have not received a grant for a particular program, then how do you continue and spend on it? Because sure, it's obvious that you are actually stealing funds from somewhere else. And also the challenge that that was explained, that certain programs or whatever were done in the previous financial year, and then the outcomes then were reflected in the new financial year. Something that needs to go, that we need to pay attention to.
This is covered under 5.3 and 4.
Yeah, yeah, that needs to pay attention to that.
Okay. On page 11 now.
The question, although is that we did not really get convincing explanation, the issue that the department was supposed to transfer 25%, but it decided to transfer 17%. If you remember, I raised all of it. I think it's the legal department decided to send 17% rather than 25%. And the question that was raised, which did not receive adequate response, is that how compliant is that to the prescription of the Division of Revenue? And they just gave some sort of an excuse, you know, is that they were trying to respond to the current situation, that they would not transfer 25% because there is the indication that they're not capable to spend the money, blah blah, in the previous financial year. But the question that was raised was in relation to what the Division of Revenue prescribes to happen on that particular grant in terms of transfer. And the question also that we raised, that will that not assist the province not to spend all the money, because then you are pushing the bulk of the funds towards the end of the financial year, which may actually progress to fiscal dumping on its own technical. If you refuse with the money on the first quarter, and then you give them 20% instead of 25%, and then you're going to give them more in the middle of towards the end, they are actually encouraging the fiscal dumping. And so I think that is the real question that we just need to get it much more clearer to the 5.1 and 5.2, so that we are able to talk to each and send the correct messages. Thanks.
So what is your actual position there on the machine?
Well, Chair, is that when we are on page 11, 5.1 and 5.2, our first 2 points, it's just simply a statement, 5.1, and then that says, no, 17% instead of 25%, and has the potential to create future understanding. And then I would have loved also to put, you know, to actually relate that to what the Division of Revenue spells out. Because remember, it's an act, legislation that we have passed when we adopted the Division of Revenue. And then we are having a national department deviating from that. And then if we could just simply raise, just put a sentence that
that actually relate that to a deviation from the division of revenues prescription in terms of the transfers of this particular account. We put a question on that.
No, it's fine. I get a point. Although, from another end, we find that merchants were given less than, even if, because they performed to up to the level of 14% of the 17 that they were given. Which, if they got 25, they would still have not performed up to the optimal level. That's why the issue comes, how they are assisted in terms of improving their spending, which also go to the issue of plans and capacity and all those things. If you look deeper in why they could not spend or they are failing to spend in accordance with expectations as well.
No, Chair, I agree to that. I understand that. But I'm just talking on the legality of the matter.
Okay.
Because when you pass a legislation that specifies how the transfers must be made, if it says, you know, it's a quarterly, it must be transferred, that means it's 25%. Now the department decides to transfer 17%. Then how legal is that? I mean, we pass the division of revenue. And then if there is any deviation from it, then we must actually note that deviation from the division of revenue. We're not saying that we are forcing them to transfer that, but we just recognize that they are deviated from the prescribed of the division of revenue.
Chairman, I can fully understand what Honourable Mashid is saying, but I'm not sure about is whether DORA actually prescribes 25%, or is there any provision there for transfers being appropriate for the spending taking place? In other words, if no spending is taking place, do they still get 25%?
I think it's old, or it's transfer and it's prescribed.
Okay, so I think there seems to be like a unilateral 17%.
Mm-hmm.
Where that figure came from, we don't know. And this, in some cases, only 14% was spent, so they're still over transferred in terms of spending. I'm a little bit lost as to actually what the legal prescription is on this one. Is it 25%? No matter what you spend, you get 25%. Sorry,
Mr. Chairman,
we're having a one-on-one here.
So, the DORA does not say 25%, but what the DORA emphasizes is according to plans, which means departments must submit to the national government their plans, and then the department will transfer according to those plans. Maybe the issue that can be raised was, is to say the 17%, was it in line with the plan submitted by the department? Many days have been 25%, that's what I'm actually saying, but they were given less. Then it becomes an issue. But they, according to their plans, this is what they have to say, and to transfer 70%. But if their plans were saying 70%, already they are projecting under 20%, because they will not be able to spend all their money if it was the 70%.
Okay,
I think what I do understand is that if the department submit a year plan and maybe the first quarter's plan is less than a quarter of the money, the department look at that plan, puts a figure to that plan, and if that plan doesn't match that 25%, or I understand what you said, if the plan was equal to the 17%, the department has all the right thing to say, we've only asked for 17% in it for the first quarter, so we're giving you that for 70%, according to your plan. I understand what you're
now. I think we will have to verify the point made by Honorable Mashid, because I would imagine, my mind tells me that in terms of treasury regulations, because every time when it's quarterly, and they will always be targeting 25% of the first quarter, and the second quarter targeting 50, and when treasury also report to us, they will also report according to those, which I would think that one of their regulation under that section 71 reports should be speaking directly to that. But there's never been any denying by the Treasury that they expect all those tranches to be 25% first quarter, second got another 25 until the last to make it 100%. But it's something that perhaps we will have
to
just like the regulations in terms of national treasury regulations.
Chair, it's, without ever deviating much from the report, is that this issue of spending 40% or whatever, you know, it's a nice debate, because if you have been part of a planning of projects in a municipality situation or in a provincial situation, is that it becomes difficult to plan for an amount that is uncertain. If it's uncertain, you know, it's if you know that you are going to get 25%, then it actually makes your life easier to plan on the project. Yes, when you implement, you may not achieve the 25%, achieve 24, 20, or whatever, given specific reasons. But at least your planning becomes certain because you know the amount that's going to come in the 6 months, you will be receiving 50% of what it is coming. But the minute it starts pitching up where now somebody has decided to give 17%, then who knows this second quarter what this department is going to transfer. If they transfer 15% or 10%, then it actually creates a planning problems. I'm not saying that they will spend the 25% of them, but I'm just saying that it brings an element of uncertainty on the availability of funds, then the planning becomes a problem. Thanks.
I think we have made the point we need to move now.
Thank you, Chair. I think the point I want to make, we are busy with findings now. The findings, information that were given to us, we do not have much leverage to change a finding. Finding is almost like a fact that should be established. What we should do, as honourable member's point, when we do a recommendation, we should raise it as a question. You know, as part of the ongoing information that we need, is what I would suggest. Thank you.
We are on conditions now. Page 12, 13. And the issue of combined student effect that in the other 6.1 is
yeah.
Not much sure of ourselves. We are on page 12.6.
I agree with you that point should be raised to 6.1
okay.
As raised by the member.
On this 6.16. Page 13. You call it something. And page 14. The ink issue is quite well, Honorable
Joseph.
Honorable Joseph?
I want to write something after your adoption.
A call for adoption?
Yes, sir.
Honorable Tibiar moves. Honorable Joseph seconds. If those corrections. Yes, Honorable Joseph?
Yeah, I want to step in.
It's just an improvement of 5 inches.
No, it's adopted.
Okay. No, we must just add the honorable T. E. Charlie. That's the bottom.
It is there.
It is there. Honorable.
No, page 14, the one that I'm having is not.
You want honorable.
H-O-N, and then T. E. Charlie, M.P.
Honorable Joseph.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to know where in this process, the point raised, but we already discussed, but with the holding office, if the department doesn't come up with plans or spending, the issue that we raised about the people, and the people are suffering in their province, and the money, the service delivery is affected, and so who then takes that decision? Where in the system will someone take hold of that authority to make sure that the people the people in the province or the communities what they deserve, while we are dealing with this ongoing internal underspending or no spending. And somewhere, someone in government must be able to say that people must get that service, whether they outsource that money to a company or what they must do, but I just feel we are accountable to the people and responsible, and on behalf of the people we are here. But somehow we're not moving in the direction. We just stop at noting this and try and deal with the staff and the issues and the disciplinary investigations. But the people are actually waiting for these, desperately waiting for these services, whether it's housing or other delivery. I just want to clear the way who then takes control of to make sure people get that service. Thanks.
Well, I think one of the those are thanks for the point, but I think it is the responsibility of the executive to make sure that the departments do deliver services in terms of approved plans and all these things. And we will be monitoring that such things happen. That's why when they don't happen, we raise them as our concerns and make recommendations, which then should then be communicated now to back to different, if it's a legislature, it will be communicated to the premier and the leader of government business there, and if it's national, it goes to the deputy president and then so that they should then begin to make sure that the executive members do these things. And if they don't continue happening, that's when we begin now to raise them critically during our debates on various topics, and those chances of raising questions as some of the tools to make sure that the executive begin to take responsibility in account properly. And if nothing at the end happens positively, it goes back to this tool that we are in.
The ballot box.
Yeah, well, well. I will listen.
You read mine. Chairman, I've got a completely wrong picture. I thought that's why every committee had a whip, and the whip was, that job was to go and make sure that the delivery took place. So what's the job of a whip in the committee? Sorry, Mr. Chairman.
Still in the plenary of yesterday. Chair, you see, what Joseph is raising, I'm sure you remember that I've tried to make noise about. And then I don't know whether we don't, because yesterday we also had the same thing. I think we had the same thing about the progress on the investigation. And then where the lady from Treasury said, no, we could not move because this must happen, this must do this, if it doesn't do that, then we can't move, and all that. And so we have got these silos on the national government, the provincial government, the local government. Now, it looks like there are certain legislative provisions somewhere that prevent another sphere from actually giving a service that other sphere cannot do while they are actually dealing the challenges. It looks like there is something like that. And now, one would have actually really asked if it is possible to challenge our personnel like Darwin and company to really look at what is that that makes a provincial department. If a municipality is supposed to actually build a road and then something else happens, and then this provincial department then something else happens that makes the construction of the road not to happen. And then this Department of Cooperative Governance, after realizing the challenges that are there, that they cannot be resolved immediately, but then it cannot make that project to continue. It is hands wrong. If we could just simply, if it is possible to be a school
on those particular legislative provisions that stops this kind of thing. And when everything is bad, that an upper layer of government cannot intervene to do that other than going through the section 149 or whatever, the current thing, because like as we see, for section 139 to come in, it comes in when everything has collapsed.
Yeah.
You see, the section 100 that now we have gone to Limpopo, obviously that there are things that have happened that the National Department of Treasury have seen and have been talking to Limpopo, but it could not do it before it can ever get into a section 101B. Before that is instituted, then they can assist. And then, so I'm not just trying to say, if it could be school and those specific constitutional provisions or legislative provisions that actually hinder these particular incidents from happening without first going to the section 139 or the section 100. We know in terms of section 154 of the constitution, they're supposed to be assisting each other, you know, to deliver service.
Yes.
But that's not happening.
That's inclusive of the section.
Then they actually tell us that no, the municipality is an independent domain and then you can't just go in there and do what. For us to do something, we must first put section 109 and take over. It's then that we can do things. So I really don't know if we could just get the proper opinion so that we are able to discuss this, because really this thing that the municipality faced to spend their grant, and then instead of assisting that municipality to be able to spend and deliver services, then Treasury would rather opt to withhold, or the National Department relevant would decide to withhold the funds rather than actually first trying to assist for the money to be spent. Really this is posing a serious challenge. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, comrades.
Honourable members. Although I'm not sure what exactly you want to be assisted on, because fundamentally some of these things flow from our constitution in terms of all those spheres of government. But going to the practicality of the matter and the reality of the matter, we know what the problems are. Because let us take instances of municipalities. Much as sometimes we talk about capacity and what. But if you look at some of the kind of assistance that these municipalities get in terms of human capacity, people going there and assisting them. And their attitudes towards such teams. Even when teams are sent there, they don't care. They are forever not in the offices if we are to be in most instances. They are forever not in their offices. They only make the baby of those who are there. They can't even be there to be shown the ropes how to do things until the situation comes, because they know that we say, but no, let this not stop delivery of services. To me, I would not, the ultimate result of any intervention is to improve services, but at the point of the intervention, somewhere, somehow, something must stop. It's like if you want to rescue somebody who's reckless in a car, for you to intervene, you have to find a way of stopping that car so that you get rid of this person and get the car under control. Otherwise, you can't just jump and say, oh, the car must continue running whilst I'm sorting this particular problem. But at the end of it, we will have to speak to the constitution, because all this fear, like giving those and the departments and everybody, get their powers out of that, their independence. The problem is that it's human beings who have been these things, and through their attitude and egos, they stall the processes of delivering services. And in the spirit of yesterday, if I heard us kid yesterday, we were saying, in instances where people are so stubborn such that they delay delivery of services and they are looting and they are doing what, such people should be brought out and cleaned, get out of the system, and get people who will be willing to do the job. That would be the only long-term solution. Get people who have got the will to serve the people. This leads us to attitude in some other areas of our government, of people who just are waking against the system. Because the systems are clear. The laws and everything
all of us must serve. But if I decide to be stubborn and don't want to serve, knowing very well that if you want to intervene, Honorable Machine, the Honorable List will say, but no, the intervention should not affect services. I personally don't see how will that be avoided, other than getting rid of those who are in the cold face of delivery, who refuse. Because majority do want to serve, but there are those in their small pockets who think that they own these institutions and retard progress.
Chair, we agree. I agree too. But my problem is that we are capable of moving people only when everything has collapsed and we have put Section 109. In the process, when we pick up that no, the finance of a particular municipality is not working well, we don't have the capacity to actually intervene and remove that person. We only, you know, the province only starts having the power and the leeway of removing people when everything has collapsed and we have instituted Section 109. And what I'm actually trying to call is, as and when we pick up a flaw in a municipality or a national picks up a problem as a province, then there should be a particular a power or authority or enabling something that it can make them to be able to intervene and say, no, 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 here we've got a problem. Not waiting for everything to collapse and then we bring in Section 100 and then now he gives us the license, you know, freedom of removing people.
So what is your suggestion then?
That I was saying is if we could get a proper legal opinion, you know, is on how is this, the Constitution and the relevant Act are interpreted to actually frustrate the upper levels of government from intervening in time on the lower levels of government. Because there is something that is actually hindering them from intervening in time.
And that's something we know, the laws that we have passed. It's not something that we don't know. We know that before you do anything, you must first follow the legal prescription to arrive at that particular thing. So far, at least that one we know.
I thought Section 151, then it was talking something else. And I actually wanted to know why it is not actually followed as well. Because it is very clear.
The issue comes compliance in general.
Who put the hierarchy of interpreting this particular section? That would frustrate everything. When there are enabling sections in the Constitution that calls for that to happen, and it doesn't.
Let's not get concerned, Pastor, and we will have time to. I just allowed this debate because Joseph brought it about. It's not part of the agenda. But I just noted the Honorable.
I think what we can approve of, for those members coming after us, I wish we could have done it before, is to call Treasury, the person is Mr. Jan Patton. The lady is Mrs. Malcheng, the Chief Director of Intergovernmental Relations. On a quarterly basis, regarding municipalities, because on a quarterly basis, Treasury produces a report on the financial fiscal position, spending patterns, etc. It's three documents, but it's quite perfect. On a quarterly basis, from outside in this Parliament, referring to Section 154, with this information in front of us, to interrogate Treasury as a leading department with COCTA on what assistance are you giving, that you can pick up a trend. Yeah, you can pick up trends, but then you must do it continuously. It's not once in a while. We went to the province once in 5 years, on municipalities. That's an issue of continuation. Go into the program of the appropriations of the Committee of Finance that we should incorporate to improve on our work. At this stage, that's what I think we can do.
Okay, let's note all those numbers and then we'll find some time to engage them with that. The next item was minutes. I've got 2 sets of minutes. Honorable Makubele has got some time pressure. So, you you will assist me. It's the first set of minutes, 20th August, page 2 and 3.
So we only miss one sentence.
That says?
I think we tried to congratulate the minister on her appointment. I think that is the only thing that we are missing.
Okay.
Yes.
Great.
Must object. Must object.
No, you got no room to object. We're dealing with
any other corrections among members? If none, can I have the mover and the seconder?
Remember to put honorable.
Minutes of the 10th of September. Second honorable consensus. Nothing. Can I have the mover?
I think, Chair, this is the meeting where we ended up referring the MECs of Gauteng, I think, at Eastern Cape, and then to go back and verify the information that was presented by Sishi. Remember that they actually contradicted Sishi. And then we said, no, it's, the best thing is that you go back to your provinces and verify before you can contradict Sishi. But as I have to be assisted on this specific one.
Yes, we did say they must correct, they must make sure that their figures with the National Treasury are the same, because the Treasury source their figures from the report that they sent.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Any mover?
No, you
oh, machine is seconding actually.
Go to chess.
No. Robert Bakuel is correct.
Yeah.
He had already moved at a time when you intervened.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, we don't usually deal with matters arising, but may I just ask, in terms of the meeting with the Department of Transport, that they were asked to give us a report in 7 days. Did that report come through?
We did receive some information, but not within 7 days. It took a little bit longer, about 2 weeks, or even more than 2 weeks. And it was some additional information. It wasn't a complete new submission as we requested, but we did receive some additional information that we could use.
What do we do from here? Are we going to still push them for what we asked for, or are we going to leave it and circulate what we've received?
I think we should circulate what we've received, but still require them to submit what we actually wanted in full. But in the meantime, the secretariat should circulate that which they have received. Thank so that we are consistent with our decisions.
Thank you.
Thank you, Anulis. And that was the last item on the agenda, members.
Well, I can't complete the order.
And
this one is there,
you're still going to entertain us. You said you're going to entertain us.
And this meeting still agenda. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Honorable Mahid, I apologize
you
for
you. You are invited to.
I'm also
part of it. Have some. refreshment before you go.
I always say the problem is with the people, not with the problem.
Yeah.
Because if they put me there in a position and I fail to be in charge of those under myself, I am an obstacle myself. And I say, no, nobody can touch me. Even when they bring the intervention, I'm not at all. I just go on the right and then the administrator goes for a particular period.
Then you come back.
I come back and do what I was doing before. Because the problem is the attitude of people is counted, which we tolerate so much. The bottom line is that we are very soft on some of the parameters. Very soft.
Very soft.
Yeah.
Maybe because we have allowed the situation where parameters are also good.
The other thing, you see, the other thing is that which I'm raising from our side is that, you know, if we could, if we are together with treasury and have a similar understanding of the interpretation of these particular